everybody, this is House of Dark. Welcome to a new episode of Real Talk. Before I get into what my review, I want to say something real quick. I think people who are hating on James Gunn as one of the developers or heads or whatever word you want to use for the DC cinematic aspect, let the man do his job first before you already... People are already hating on him already, and I know part of it's because Henry Cavill's no longer being Superman. Wonder Woman 3, pretty much, but Wonder Woman 3 getting canceled is not his fault. Patty Jenkins just refused to write a better script because she, I don't know why she thought her, I don't know, let's all be honest. I don't know why she thought people were not going to question her third script after Wonder Woman 84 was garbage. But, nevertheless, they didn't like it. They wanted her to rewrite it. She refused to, and she walked. So, that's not James Gunn. Well, according to that's what the internet says, according to everything I've read, she walked. But that's not James Gunn's fault. Them going from a different, version of Superman, like a younger Superman, that, you know, that's not, I mean, Henry Cavill's like not even 40 yet, but that's not, you know, there's nothing he can do about that. And now he's got the Warhammer 40K, like, series he's working on with Amazon. He's good. He's not hurting. But anyways, my point is that let the man succeed or fail first before you can start dissing James Gunn. James Gunn already proves he knows how to write movies. Especially with Guardians 1 and 2, they're already out. Suicide Squad did very well. I heard good things about the holiday special of Guardians, and Guardians 3 is coming out. So, most of the things he's produced have always been bangers, have always succeeded. So let the brother, like, he's got experience behind him. So let him give it a go. Can't be any worse than what it was before. Let's be honest. The DCEU, as it is of right now, is hot garbage. So he couldn't do any worse than what it already is as of right now. So let the brother try. Let the brother try to fix this, because none of y'all doing it. Let him do it. Man, give him a shot. Stop being, look, am I bummed that Henry Cavill can't come back and play Superman and flesh out that character and give him more substance? Yes. But let's see what they do with it. Let's see what happens. It was going to happen anyways. It was going to change anyways. Like, even he said it in the statement, like, the changing of the guard is especially in Hollywood is a thing. It happens. He's like, it comes with the territory. Let it be. So everyone get your hurt feelings out and send them to school and focus on what can happen now at this point. Anyways, just had to get off of that very specific soapbox so I can go back to the original soapbox I was going to get on. All right, back to what I was going to talk about. So in October, Black Adam, starring Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, because he's always going to be The Rock to me, plays the titled character. And let's all be honest, we were all looking forward to him playing Black Adam. We thought he would look good as Black Adam. We wanted to see him Black Adam fight with Henry Cavill as Superman. We wanted to see him fight Zachary Levi as Shazam. And looks like we're not getting one of those things. Hopefully we're going to get the latter one. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I heard Black Adam 2 is in danger, which is, I'm okay with that, partly because I didn't like this movie. Okay, so I just had to outright say it. I didn't like this movie. And this is why. Not about The Rock. He's fine as Black Adam. There's just so much stuff that happens in this movie that makes no sense to me. Which is like, I hate MacGuffins. We've talked about, like, oh, they have to have some implement of power to be the reason why, the reason. I don't mind that when it works. In this movie, it doesn't work. And there's they already out the gate are pushing him being a hero. And that's the number one, like, I feel like Black Adam is showing me, and I think that's one of the things that needs to be discussed. Maybe I'll discuss in this episode, depends how much fussing I do. No one knows the right villains anymore. That's why I'm surprised Joker with Joaquin Phoenix did so well, because granted, it's not the Joker. It's, you know, the violence and the craze and the portrayal of actual, like, mental issues and stuff like that. It's done to such a degree that it's kind of like, it's jarring. Like, I never watched the movie, but I've seen pieces of it. It's disturbing. And it was successful. So they did, in some sense, do, and apparently, like, Gaga's going in to play at least that variation of Harley. I don't know. I don't know anymore because I'm very confused where this fits into the universe, if it fits at all. But the point is that it's done so well that it's succeeding and it's coming out with a sequel. And you're getting another big name to play the other side of his, of this character, the companion. Sorry, let's take another drink. But the point is that proper villain storytelling should exist. And for some reason, nobody wants to do it. Multiverse Madness was proof of that. Black Widow was proof of that. The Eternals is proof of that. Wakanda Forever is proof of that. WandaVision. I mean, I can go on and on. It was just like, there's Ms. Marvel was just not done well. And look at Black Adam. Black Adam's another huge example of people not wanting to properly write a villain story. Because I know, I haven't been reading DC Comics as of late, but apparently they decided to turn Black Adam to an anti-hero, and I roll my eyes really hard when I see that, because stop blurring the lines. There needs to be distinctions. That we have to have our good guys in order to fight bad guys. When you start putting characters in the middle, the blurred line characters, it makes for boring storytelling. Like, it really does. Oh, they can go either way, depending on the situation. No. Bad guy, good guy. Come on. Stop it. Next thing you know, we're going to make Victor Von Doom anti-hero. No. No. They already did it to Namor in Wakanda Forever. Like, just no. I'm sick of it. Make these villains. Granted, to be fair, Namor is not a villain, but he's not a hero. And he's not even an anti-hero. He's Namor. That brother will do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. Dead serious. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's right in the line, it doesn't matter. Namor just does what Namor wants. So he's none of the above. That's the problem with Namor. He's none of the above. One minute he is the bad guy. Next minute he is the hero. Next minute he's right in the line. Like, he literally... And that's the problem with that character. Like, he doesn't have a very specific classification because he never sticks to it. So, to try to make him anything but Namor is a failure on their part. So, bad job, Ryan Coogler. Bad job. Point is, same, Black Adam's the same. And I feel like... I feel like I've been pushing this, I don't like the human element in stories anymore because they're not done well. They really aren't. And I say that because in Black Adam, there's too much of it. There's too many humans interacting with Teth Adam that are not, like, there's a mother and a son in this movie. Which, by the way, you see her in one of the trailers. I can't remember if you see the boy at any point in the trailers. And they're just so not necessary. I wish they would have focused on one of his old, his original origin story. The one specifically when Teth Adam was chosen as by Shazam to be the hero of the time. And he was, but the people who got tired of him turned on him, killed his wife, and then that's when he goes full villain and becomes a tyrant. I'd rather have that story. That story was the better one. This arc gave him a son, and I know there's like, I guess in the current story arc, origin of Black Adam, he was like the nephew or the uncle, I forget. They keep changing his backstory, and that's the other thing I have issues with. Stop changing his brother's backstory. Now we don't know how to focus on this, how to write this guy, because he keeps changing his brother's backstory left and right. Anyways, the point is, he's supposed to be selfish and iron fist and tyrannical because of his past experience. So, the way they wrote this story is so drawn out about this hero thing. Hero, 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 he's a hero, 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 hero. And the fact that they're pushing, like, he's a better hero than the JSA. First of all, up yours. You know, because the way this movie is written, the inner gang, for some reason, has occupied Khandaak. I'm spoiling some of this because you'll decide if you want to watch it or not. For some reason, Inner Gang, which is, I don't know why they've literally occupied Khandaak, but nobody's done. We have no reason to understand why the, like, government has done nothing about it, or like the United Nations or anybody who's done anything about this. Everyone's just kind of, it's just how it is. And I find it intriguing that like she's putting it on the JSA. It's like, first of all, where's everybody else? We're missing context here. There's some that why they're able to occupy this country and nobody's fighting it. We're missing a huge chunk of story. But anyways, they keep pushing this whole concept that he may not be a hero, but he's done more for us than actual heroes ever have. And it drives me up the wall, because you're pushing the whole hero anti-hero thing on Black Adam, where he should be walking in here as a villain. He literally should be. If you want to eventually turn him to anti-hero, that's an eventual thing. But day one, year one, we're introducing this character. This boy should be villain outright. And the fact that they brought it out an outside element to make him fight to help protect people, like there's some weird crown that summons some crazy creature from the underworld so he can fight it to protect the world. First of all, up yours. That is the worst writing ever. Come on. And it's stuff like that I'm going like, you guys don't know how to write villains. Because instead of writing a something with substance, like, cause how much better would it be? So the one piece of, if they want to use an implement of power, use the Rock of Eternity. The Rock of the Eternity was the power source that Shazam used to give Billy his powers. And also the same power they used to give Teth Adam his powers. So have like that archaeologist lady look for the Rock of Eternity. You want Kondak to be occupied by a inner gang or whoever? Like, that's fine. And have her look for the Rock of Eternity so they can find means to fight back. And then accidentally release Black Adam and is not happy to see how his country is faring and is deciding he's going to do something about it. And go to the source. Like, Intergame doesn't live there. They're from somewhere else. And I think it's, you know, I have no problem with Justice, with the JSA, you know, fighting them. Even though I think it's funny that it's the JSA and, like, nobody else is around. Where's everybody else? Batman is alive. Superman is alive. Wonder Woman is alive. Flash is alive. And if we all know how DC Comics work, those characters do eventually show up, especially in big world ending events. They really do. So to sit there and why did we get this version of JSA? Like, Hawkman's fine, having Kent or Dark the Fate is fine. Where's Jay Garrick? Where's Kara? Where's Kara? Where's Stargirl? Where's Wildcat? Where are the good JSA members at? Like, I'll take Hourman over like Cyclone. Like, she was useless. I'm sorry. Like, Adam Smasher was okay, but he was like for comedic purposes and comedic purposes only. It's like, get out of here. And it's just like, and shout out to Henry Winkler, by the way. But I just don't understand. Like, there's a lot about this movie I hate it. And so I was just saying, like, they should have wrote it with him losing his wife as the backstory. Or why he's angry at the world. Have the lady who like releases him, looking for the Rock of Eternity, look like his wife, his dead wife. And so he has a physical connection, he has an emotional connection to her because she looks a lot like his wife. Just like Imhotep did in The Mummy. When he saw Evie, he's like, oh shoot, she looks like my wife, my dead wife. And so he's directly connected to her. That's there you go. You could have, they're right there, and gave him more of a reason why he wants to protect Kondak, because this is his opportunity, you know, to do it again, to do something, but he does it his way. Not, you know, because it's Black Adam. He's going to have a forceful hand. The boy, I hated the boy. So in the movie, there's this boy, and it's the son of the female protagonist. I forget her name, too. And it shows how forgettable a lot of these characters are. And he's annoying as mess. He's like, you're the hero. You're going to be hero of Kondak. You know, if you're a hero of Kondak, you gotta change your name. You gotta have a catchphrase. Hero. I'm like, go away, kid. Go away. Go away. And like, when you meet him, he's in his room. His room has every every, like, not even like of the Justice League. It's just of the Trinity. Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. Like, I guess they couldn't get the right to bring anybody else. So clearly, and he has posters from everywhere, like I saw Terry Dodson's, like, Wonder Woman poster. I saw Campbell's Wonder Woman. Like, he has everybody's posters, versions of Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman in his room. Like, literally, even figures. Like, I think one of them was like, looked like the, like Injustice 1 Batman figure, like, on the shelf. So, we know these three exist. Where are they? And they're like, I didn't even see them explain where Superman was. This would be a time to bring in Superman. Granted, I get it, legal purposes, Henry Cavill wasn't Superman at the time, blah, 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 blah. I get it. It's still dumb. I think DC missed out on an opportunity to do something really, really cool. So, shout outs for them for being stupid. Anyways, I'm sorry, I'm very particular about this. Black Adam's such a cool character that does have layers to him, and he does have layers to him. They just didn't do it well. They didn't explore it properly. The boy shouldn't have been there. He's annoying. The having Inner Gang, like, maybe one of the leaders of Inner Gang is looking for the Rock of Eternity as well, so he can use the power to become, like, his own champion. That'd have been cool. I'd have been okay with that. And then have Black Adam be like, no, if anyone's going to rule Khandaq, it's going to be me. And have that's the reason why he fights the guy, not because he cares about, like, the world, but because this is his country, he fought for it in the past, he's gonna fight for it again because it's his, and he, you know, that it would have made that much more sense than the weird, crazy, dark entity they try to use in the film. It's just so dumb. And then the fact when he finally wins, and he sits on the throne, they're like, and he's like, I don't like it. I don't, this conduct doesn't need a ruler, but it needs a champion. Oh my god, that's not Black Adam, not at all. Not one bit. The thing is, he didn't even liberate Khandaq, because Inner Gang still existed. They're still there. They still occupied the place. You took out one base. It was like, come on. And then what? The JSA just goes home. I'm the whole point of the JSA in this movie was to be put down. Dead serious. Their whole purpose was for them to say, like, Black Adam's better than you. That's literally what they're there for. And it's the most annoying thing. He may not be a hero, but he's better than you. Oh, my God. Like, just, can we? Ugh. 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 It's like, I'm sorry. It was done poorly. I didn't like it. Like, some of the scenes were okay. Like, okay, and there's, okay, so, a couple of things, too, in this movie. I'm spoiling some stuff, because I don't like this movie any, I don't give a care, people shouldn't watch it. So there's a scene when he gets knocked out, because, the world's, they're going after, a very particular metal that was made, it has powers, or has some kind of energy source in it, or something, called Eternium. I roll my eyes. Here's the thing. Marvel and DC all have their implements of power, their special metals, like, Marvel, it's black, it's adamantium, and like carbonadium, and the DC universe is like ninth metal and H metal and all these other like juju metals they have. I get it. Eternium, get out of here. And the fact that, like, first of all, they even talk about the Hawkman ship is made out of ninth metal, or end metal, excuse me, end metal. Supposed to be the most strongest metal on the planet, indestructible. Guess what? His ship gets destroyed at the end of the movie. So get out of my face. Anyways, and apparently it's like the kryptonite that hurts him, because he gets hit by an Eternium-powered missile, and it hurts him, and then he gets passed out, which, by the way, stupid. So he passes out. He wakes up in the boys' room. That's how you meet the boy. The first thing he does is speak perfect English. Get out of my face! You're from 5,000, you've been asleep for 5,000 years, but you somehow magically know, like, perfect English? Get out of here. get out of here. At least do, like in Fifth Element, when Lilu, like, she spoke her alien tongue, and then she started pretty much watching the internet, their version of the internet, and learned English from the internet. Alright, that works. Or do, at least in, like, X-Men Apocalypse, when Apocalypse woke up, when Insabanur woke up, he absorbed people to learn the language. Because he spoke ancient Egyptian. So when he absorbed people, he absorbed their knowledge through, like, telepathy and stuff, and learned the language. All right. There was a way to learn how figure out why he knows English. This brother just woke up and knew English perfectly. Get out of my face. Get out of here. And then there's another scene. Like he's walking through walls. Like an idiot. And I'm like, and even like, what was it? Can't Dr. Fate's like, were there not doors when you were, in your timeline? He's like, of course there were doors. Then why are you walking through walls like a dummy? God, it's just like it's so unnecessary. The fact that they wrote it in the movie, they wrote it in the movie going like, why are you walking through walls? Shows you how stupid they are. Why are you writing them this way? Would Black Adam go through a wall because he doesn't care? Sure, but he's also not a Neanderthal. He can walk. He can go through a door. So, like, I just, like, and then, like, he kept doing it the entire movie. I'm like, this is so dumb. This is ridiculous. I'm like, can we not do this to the character? Can we not? So, personally for me, if they don't do a Black Adam 2, I'd be okay. Because the way Black Adam 1 is a poor movie. Oh, and then when you get to the plot twist about who really was the champion of Kondak in the past, I rolled my eyes. I didn't give a care. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter because, oh, by the way, yeah, speaking of that, that whole origin steps on Shazam. Because in Shazam, the Wizard Shazam, when he talks to Billy before he gives him his power, tells him that he chose a champion in the past, and he alludes to it's Black Adam, use his powers for revenge. He said the champion he chose, in the Black Adam of the movie, they retcon that in story. So you're cannibalizing your own story arc. Like, come on, guys. Like, what are you doing? It's like you guys are stepping on your own toes. It's your universe. You're not paying attention to what you're writing. It's so dumb. So anyways, Black Adam was for me personally, it was like a 4, maybe a 5 out of 10. It's not the worst film. It really isn't. But it was not done well. And the whole push to make him hero or anti-hero, like, the problem about it is this. It kept coming up so much. It kept coming up, like, the entire movie. Like, I've been reading, watching videos and stuff about writing and dialogue and stuff like that, and they're talking about things sometimes should be done in subtext. In other words, it can be told without directly being said. Just sometimes in the exchange, maybe the looks they give, there's ways you can tell that to express those feelings or thoughts without actually having to say those feelings and thoughts, because that builds more layers to the story and makes it more meaningful. The problem with this movie is no subtext. None. If you want him to go anti-hero, let him decide. Don't let these human elements, once again, poke him to that direction. And this whole argument, like, he gets in a whole argument with Carter, aka Hawkman, about what's a hero and what isn't. Why are we having this conversation? And it kept coming up. What? Why are we keep doing this? See? No subtext. Just outright, heroes don't kill. I'm like, why are we writing this? Who's writing this movie? It's so bad. And it's just like constantly in your face that they're trying to remind you that, like, he's a better hero than a JSA, even though he kills and blah, 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 blah. Let's blur the lines, everybody. Let's blur the lines. And I'm like, guys, you have to understand, most anti-heroes are one step away from being a villain. Like, the Punisher, for all intents and purposes, might as well be a villain. Let's be real. Matt Murdock, the funny part about Matt Murdock is that he loves the law, but he breaks it in order to help people. That's why his story is very interesting. What's another good anti-hero? Batman's not an anti-hero. Batman actually is a hero. Because Batman doesn't kill. He uses darkness, he uses fear, and he uses two levels of brutality to protect people, but he's an actual hero. He just does it a different way from, like, Superman, who's supposed to be the light. He's the paragon of good. So, like, my problem is, Shazam, Billy Batson, is supposed to be the paragon of good. Black Adam is supposed to be the other side of that arc. And that's why he has problems with Billy. So, like, why are we writing to where he's like, oh, well, you know, I'll be a hero if I have to be, because, you know, I'm the Rock. And, like, what are you doing? Why are we writing him that way? He's supposed to be the polar opposite of what Billy is. That's the whole point. God, it's so good. Then when you blur the line of him to make him like an anti-hero, then him fighting Billy makes no sense. It really doesn't. And or the other way around. It makes Billy look like a bad person. He's a good guy. He protects Kundak. He's a hero. He's a champion of this country. Why are you putting hands on him? You see what I mean? See what I'm talking about? It's not like Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom is the hero of Latveria. He really is. He liberated his people from tyranny and his rule, and he rules like apparently very fair. But guess what he is? Outside of Latveria, guess what that brother is? Brother is the villain of the hour. Cause that boy is always doing something villainous. He's always trying to get some implement of power. He was always trying to get somebody's major power to rule the world. He's always trying to do something otherworldly every time. So yeah, in Latveria, he's the greatest. Outside of Latveria, he's the worst. Why? Because he's a villain. He's an actual villain with diplomatic immunity, which is bizarre. But the point is, that's how you're supposed to write a character. I was hoping that they would do Black Adam like Doom, because Black Adam and Doom have very similar, like, ways of doing things, and they both liberated their countries, they both ruled their countries, and, like, the people of those said countries love them because they're fair. They're firm, but they're fair. But outside of that country, they're bad guys. And I feel like they just didn't do that with this movie. So that's why Black Adam for me is a 4 to 5 out of 10. Just, it's done badly. And I finished when I got done, I was like, that's 2 hours I'm not getting back. That's 2 hours of my life I'm not getting back. Because, and I like The Rock. I think he's a good actor. I think he's cool. I think he looks great as Black Adam. I just think they didn't bring the real character Black Adam to life, because they're trying so hard to do this. Everyone's afraid to do real villains. And that's the point I was trying to make too. Everyone's afraid to do real villains. Like, who's a real villain in Black Widow? Dracoff? They killed Dracoff. They introduced Taskmaster, but Taskmaster's not a bad guy. Taskmaster's a victim. What? Okay. And by the way, it's not Masters. It's Dracoff's daughter. What? Multiverse of Madness. Who's the real villain in Multiverse of Madness? Nobody. Why? You know why? Because they make Wanda a mom who wants, he just wants her kids, even though her kids were fake and conjured up from her mind. But she's running around murdering people just so she can have these kids that she doesn't actually physically have. But she's not the villain. What? In WandaVision, what did Wanda do? Wanda literally held an entire town hostage using her powers, which, by the way, you're like, oh, well, she didn't know. Sure, in episode 1, she didn't know, but by the end of episode 2, she knew what she was doing. That's why when Monica Rambeau was in there, she realized who she was, she threw her out. That's why when she saw the drone, she threw it out. That's why she started threatening Homeboy. Who's a real villain? Not Sword. Not the guy who was in charge of Sword. Wanda is, but guess what? They don't want to write it that way, even though she actually is the villain. Like, who's the villain of Loki? We don't know. We don't know who the actual villain of Loki is, because the way they wrote it, it was just like, you know, the villain of Falcon and Winter Soldier is not, they try to write it to where it's not Carly. It's not even the power broker. First of all, Sharon Carter as the power broker is such weak sauce for me as a storyteller. Such weak sauce. I hate Sharon. Sharon shouldn't even come back. Anyways, but Carly was the name of the girl who was the leader of the Flag Smashers. She was weak sauce, but she wasn't the real villain. Like, they tried to write it to where it was man. I'm like, oh my God, get out of my face. And like, let's be real. Like, and I didn't watch most of Ms. Marvel because the story I just walked away after like second episode. And Moon Knight, I walked away 110% because the villain was clearly right there doing villainous things. And yet the pantheon of the Egyptian gods for some reason just ignored him because he said, I'm doing nothing. Get out of my face. I'm out of here. I'm out. Poor writing. I'm out. Yeah, we get it. It was a stepping stone to bring in the Scarlet Scarab. We get it. So, like, and no one knows how to write villains anymore. And even, like, technically speaking, in No Way Home, Spider-Man No Way Home, nobody really was the bad guy. They were all victims. They even in No Way Home, they were all victims. They're all like, what did all the Peters try to do to that? Help their said villains. Oh, let's help. I'm going to help Matt because he's drunk and he's conflicted because of the power he has. Oh, Octavius is not really a bad guy. His sentient arms are controlling his mind. We need to give him a chip to fix him. Oh, Norman's not a bad guy. He has psychotic breaks because of the serum in his body. Like, it's all that. So nobody was really a villain in No Way Home. Even though Aunt May got murdered, there was no real villains. And I'm like, are we serious? We're doing, like, even like, and I like No Way Home. No Way Home was done very well. But guess what? Nobody was a villain in No Way Home. Everybody was a victim. And that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody's really, there's no bad guys anymore because no one wants to write real bad guys. And when everyone has an excuse, everyone has a reason. Like, oh, but you have to understand this and this. Yeah, but you still have to make choices. It doesn't matter what your situation is. You still have a choice. You decide how you are and how you're going to be. And if you decide you're going to be this way and murder people, you're not a good person. Let's be real. That's a villain thing to do. And especially if you're doing it for selfish reasons. I mean, you shouldn't murder anybody in general. But like, if you're going to murder anybody for selfish reasons, you're not a good person. You're a villain. And we're like, well, David, that's black and white. Yes, sometimes it is black and white. But the problem is with Phase 4 and a lot of the DCEU, it's all blurred. It's all gray all the time. I'm like, yeah, that's boring. That's after a minute, that's boring. So, sorry. That's how I feel. Like, we need to go back to the old ways, like 90s, like Marvel 616, you know, when it was clear who was a good guy, who was not. Those were the good times. Anyways, tell me what you can think. Tell me how you feel. If you liked Black Adam, explain to me why. Like, seriously. And if you had a choice of, like, who of the JSA would you love to see on there? Like I said, I think Hawkman looked cool. I think Dr. Fate looked great. Those casting was fine. And I think people are excited to see Adam Smasher because we know who he, you know, of him and stuff like that. But if you had a chance to have the Justice Society of America on the big screen, who would you have? I feel like we were missing, like, Jay Garrick. We're missing Wildcat. We were missing some folks. And I feel like that would have been cooler than Cyclone and Atom Smasher. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. Anyways, this is a House of Darkner with, like, a lot of angry feelings about Black Adam. I'm gonna go and do some push-ups or something. All right, I'll see you guys later.